I was notorious for creating characters that had the most ridiculous, like had a secret in their backstory. And I would keep that secret for like 8 months. Like I'd keep it as long as I could. The best feeling, you know, is when we're all live, streaming live on, you know, Twitch, and my character drops this bomb of a backstory moment, and seeing everyone's reaction in real time as they're like, are you kidding me? Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Delulu Canoe Podcast. We are back and better than ever. Today, joining me in the canoe, we have steering the canoe. I'm going to make you steer. You're going to steer the canoe today.
Oh, no.
We got Adam Williams Astro.
Hey, steering the canoe without a rudder.
That's a lot of responsibility I just bestowed on you. I hope you got it.
Yeah, and I did not agree to sit in the exit row, so I don't know how this happened, but I'm going to give it back to you.
Oh, no, it's going to derail. Just don't drop the oar. We'll be fine. One day we are going to get an oar. We're going to get a legitimate oar, and then that way when we have guests on, we can pass them the oar.
You know how clumsy I am? You really trust me with an oar in this room and all these electronics and lights?
Way too much equipment.
Yeah.
I'll just keep the oar. I'll steer the canoe. I'm taking back your privileges.
You hang on to it.
Minus 10 points. I don't know why I've made it a game show, but now apparently it's a game show.
The oar is more of a metaphor.
Oh.
Speaking of meta game
or.
Show.
Meta oar.
A meta oar.
I don't know if you can say meta, though. I think Facebook owns that.
Oh. Well, speaking of owning things, wait, that's a bad segue. Speaking of game show.
it's not too far off, actually.
Yeah, because I actually read about our guest today that she actually was on a couple game shows.
Too
so
many.
Come on down, Bonnie Gordon.
You're the next contestant on Delulu.
Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
I feel welcome.
Oh, do you?
I do. I wish
that.
I got the pink memo, but next time.
Oh, I mean, it's just, you know, it's the month of love, or probably by the time this episode comes up, Valentine's Day will probably be over.
Probably.
But it's okay. We love love, so.
Yeah. Every day in my mind is not Valentine's Day, but a love day. Yeah, love.
Yeah, spreading positivity. We actually were talking about that when you came in, talking about
exactly.
Just like lifting each other up. So
the way the world should be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Well, on that note, on love and positive vibes.
Sure.
Every guest that comes on the show, we encourage them to talk about something that they have never been. Wait, I'm saying it backwards. That they've been on other podcasts, but maybe didn't get the opportunity to talk about something that runs kind of like rent free in your brain. So I'm curious, like, what makes you Delulu?
So I made a scroll of so many, but I narrowed it down to a little bit, and then narrowed it down some more, and then figured if I could talk about this one thing within this one thing, then it would derail into many topics and spread out. So the topic I'm going to focus on today is how TTRPGs make me a better actor. Or can make someone a better actor in general. Maybe not me, because you've never seen me act.
Oh, no. So I actually had to do some research because I didn't know what that term meant. But when I Googled you, your Wikipedia came up and had that as like a keyword.
I don't even know how accurate my Wikipedia is. Like sometimes when I look at my Wikipedia, I'm
she
like,
does.
Oh, these are facts that, oh, really? I did this? Cool. Or, oh, I did that, but that's a little, that's a sketch way of saying it, but sure.
Oh, no. Interesting. So everybody goes to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Yeah, like immediately right now.
I'm sure I've like edited around it. I don't know if you know how to edit it. I've probably like submitted like maybe word this differently.
I've had to do that on my IMDb because there's somebody who keeps writing like a fake bio about me for my IMDb.
Oh, wow.
They claim that I'm like 40 and I have 3 kids and
then
I'm like a washed up actor. So I'm like,
that's kind of, I kind of want that bio.
Do you?
I feel like it's better than like she's almost 40 and a crazy cat lady. And I'm like, wait, go back to the, like, let me look established with a house and family.
A house and 2 kids and I'm married. Yeah. It's strange, the haters, what they do. But I mean, your Wikipedia had, what was the acronym that you just said?
TTRPG, tabletop role-playing game. So that like,
had to look that,
that
up.
Includes, you know, the most popular one that most people know about is
D&D.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Dungeons and Dragons. But there's so many different ones, you know, Starfinder, Pathfinder, well, Star,
not fine. Yeah, Pathfinder, Star Trek Adventures.
Oh,
there's different types of systems like this, the Cypher system. Modiphius makes a few. I wish I should have taken notes and prepared with note cards. There's so many different types of TTRPGs.
Yeah,
Kids on Bikes. There's different. That's like an 80s like.
Oh.
You know, kind of gives you like the Stranger Things or like the Goonies feel, like the horror aspect, but like in the 80s. But anyway, there's so many different TTRPGs. Laser and Feelings is a great, really simple one that you can adapt to any type of plot or story. But yeah, tabletop role playing games. How it's made me a better actor. Let's go back.
Okay, yeah, back to the acting.
Back to topic. Per se, there's so many different things about it. Well, you know, let's simplify. Let's keep it for D&D for now.
Sure.
So actually, SAG just came out with an article interviewing like me and Todd Stashwick and Michelle Hurd and Anthony Rapp, a bunch of Star Trek actors.
Love Todd Stashwick.
Isn't Todd the best? He's
so
one of
good.
My favorite DMs ever.
He's so good.
If you ever have the opportunity to play D&D with Todd Stashwick, take it.
Oh.
Anyway, shout out to Todd. woo. Anyway, so it's a bunch of Star Trek actors, and we all play D&D, and they did this interview about how TTRPGs and acting can kind of go in hand in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about D&D, you think like a bunch of weird, wacky characters. Everyone's like playing a different like species, a different race, a different talent, different
ability,
job class,
different class. Thank you. My ADHD is having a great day today.
You're killing it.
Thanks. Roll for initiative. But like all the different classes and races. So you think it's all these different characters that come from all these different backgrounds, all these different religions. Everyone like, you know, worships different gods and different this and that. And they're all working together for a common goal or common story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a collaborative game. And you're playing this character that you have to fully embody and like do the choices that you know, like Bonnie necessarily wouldn't make, but this character I'm playing would make. And it's like an exercise in not just staying present within a character, but, you know, making solid choices and making choices that you would in character, staying present within the plot, staying. Mm-hmm. You have to stay awake first off, but no, and it's all improv as well. So, you have this backstory that you create with your character that continues to grow. You know, it's also staying in character with like keeping a voice. If you choose to do like a different accent or voice, it's such an amazing exercise. I feel in the sense as an actor that, especially as a voiceover actor, because, you know, I go into a role and I create this like voice for something, and then maybe like 2 months later they bring me back in for this animation thing and they're like, okay, remember what you did, and I'm like, no.
Oh no.
Or like a year later even, I'm just like, get playback please. So you have to like remember the choices you made, remember the character you created within that role, and bring it to life every time and keep it new and fresh. And I feel like with D&D that's kind of the same thing. Like you're playing this campaign with these people depending. And it's such a joy to get to play something and then it's done, you know? You don't get to, like, relive it in the sense that you can't just rewind and play back, unless I guess you were taping it. But,
sure, yeah.
Which a lot of the time now, like, with streaming and whatnot, D&D and different role-playing games are taped and streamed on Twitch. You know, Critical Role is a perfect example, Dimension 20. But for the most part, if you're just sitting at home with a home campaign, it's like the one and done of like, wow, I wish I could go back and relive that. But all you have is the memories.
Well, that's what makes it special, I feel like, sometimes, is it's just something for you and for your soul.
Exactly.
I am curious, how did you get started in
TTRPG?
Thank you. So many letters. I have ADHD, TTRPG, OCD. There's so many letters. D&D. Well, I got started in TTRPGs by working at Geek & Sundry, actually, which is the online channel that Critical Role started with. Oh. And I was on their Star Trek RPG show, Shield of Tomorrow. as Ensign Lark Sage. Shout out to Cream Soda.
Yeah.
The USS Sally Ride. but yeah, it was basically getting to play in the world of Star Trek as this character I created. And we did it for years. I mean, there's like over 40 episodes on YouTube, I think. Wow. It's hours and hours of each episode's like 3 hours, 4 hours. It's insane.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's so much content. And then we did another one that was called Callisto 6. And it was wasn't steampunk. It was a cyberpunk superhero dystopian type future where it's like, you know, this city where, you know, kind of very cyberpunk feel. And this group of misfits kind of get bestowed these superpowers. And we save the city, basically. We're like becoming like the little superhero group of the city and fighting, you know, the man, the big corporations that are trying to take the city down. So that was a great show. It was on for a long time. And so getting to play all these characters was just such an amazing exercise. And as an actor, because every week we would have a new episode and it was all improv pretty much. Like we really, you know, we knew nothing going in, what was going to happen. And I was notorious for creating characters that had the most ridiculous, like had a secret in their backstory. And I would keep that secret for like 8 months. Like I'd keep it as long as I could. Mm-hmm. And the DM or GM, game master, dungeon master, the person running the game would know. So when you create your character and there's little things like that, you can be in cahoots. Mm-hmm. So the game master, Eric Campbell, knew the secret backstory of my characters and we would keep it secret. And then like as the story would progress, he'd be like, how do you want to reveal this? Because it's getting to that point where we've kept it secret for so long. It has to come to fruition. And the best feeling, you know, is when we're all live, streaming live on, you know, Twitch. And my character drops this bomb of a backstory moment and seeing everyone's reaction in real time as they're like, are you kidding me?
All the signs were there.
And it's such a, exactly. And it's kind of like, and you as a performer would get this. It's that feeling of instant gratification you get when doing theater, when like singing live or getting that like, that applause or that laugh.
Yeah.
I get that same energy surge playing like a D&D game.
Oh, that's because, so cool.
Because making like a wild choice and not only having your acting choices be a part of it, but the choices of the randomness of the die, seeing if you succeed or not, trying to make this wild decision happen and failing miserably.
Oh no.
Is the best. No, the best are the fails.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow.
See, I have never played, like, Dungeons & Dragons. This is, like, a world that's, like, very foreign to me.
You would love it.
That's what I hear a lot, is that I would really, like, embrace it and have fun with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you would, and I think you'd be really good at it, too, because you are the type of person that would just, no, you would, because you're very playful, and it's not about being, like, good at improv or being a good actor. It's just committing to, like, what you create, you know?
This is really funny because like Adam and I have talked a lot about it because like we've had a lot of our like mutual friends like want us to like be in their guild and play with them and
their
like,
guild
sorry or whatever so they cute. Want to call it. You know, no, everybody's got a term for
I
it.
I love it.
What is it called?
Campaign. Usually.
Campaign.
But
campaign.
It doesn't matter.
Guild is like it's close.
It was but, it actually is, yes.
They always like want us to play because like we are actors as well. Mm-hmm. But I always get like really shy about it because I do really well with improv when there's rules. So, like, in high school, when we would play, like, improv games and, like, the only rule is, like, you can't say no, I would do horribly because I need more rules. But when I worked at Walt Disney World and when you're in their entertainment department, there are so many rules of, like, things you can and can't talk about.
I was a cast member as
well. I thrived so much because I loved the rules of, like, well, I can't have that answer because that would be out of character.
We'll have a magical day.
Yeah.
But welcome to the magical world of Disney.
Well, but that's where like the character your rules come right in the characters.
Yeah.
Your rules come in like your character description.
Exactly.
And, like, the stuff that you're creating.
You create your own rules, which means that. Ooh. Yeah, exactly. So, for example, if you're playing a paladin who's like lawful good, if that makes sense, like their alignment is lawful good, meaning like you would never want to break the law. Like you are like,
ooh, okay,
you are the paladin. So your rules in the sense of like if the rest of your, you know, band of misfits decide they're like, oh no, we're going to break into this. And you're like, well, wait a minute, we need to read, you know, then it becomes that fuels your choice of like, no, we need to do this the right way.
Okay.
And not the corrupt way. I always play chaotic good.
Yeah.
Ooh. I'm the type of person that like wants to do the good thing, but I'm not afraid about breaking the rule. Like I'm like the Robin Hood mentality of like, I don't have to follow the law if it's the right thing to do.
Right. The law is stupid. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
so there's like, so there, you get to like kind of pick the label of like your character's like motivation.
You could be chaotic evil. You could be like a little like goblin, chaotic evil goblin who just is like wants to cause chaos forever.
Why is it so Chrissy coded?
Yeah,
like goblin is so her coded.
But then a lot of the fun comes in like the creativity of what you're doing, you know. Like if you're in a dungeon and you're like, there's too many vampires and we only got one vial of holy water, but you have a fire mage, so have the fire mage boil the holy water and create
mist.
Holy water mist in the dungeon, you know. It's literally whatever you can think
of. It's such a great exercise in problem solving and like solving puzzles, even though there's not always a puzzle.
It's not like a physical puzzle. It's
my
like a
favorite
mental puzzle.
My favorite class to play is the bard.
Ooh.
who are kind of like the like doo-doo-doo of the groups.
Support characters.
Yeah, but it's my favorite. And that is because I almost always will play a character who has like spells. And I will cast the spells in song, in rhyme,
ooh,
but with whatever what's happening. Like, for example, when I hug you, I know that you care. I'm glad to be here, sitting with Dare. You know, like doing like a little, that was a terrible spell. But you know what I mean? Like, but it would be like something like that, where I would cast some kind of spell, you know. We're about to have a confrontation. Time to cast Bardic Inspiration, you know.
Whoa!
And then I would cast, you know, Bardic Inspiration to the player who's about to go into the battle. Cause I'm like, I'm gonna get cut in half with one swipe, but you can fight, Mr. Barbarian Man. And, you know, so it's,
oh my God, I love it.
It's really fun. I love playing the bard. I have to stop myself from playing a bard every time because I feel like that's cheating since I feel like I'm a bard in real life.
Oh, okay.
But I love playing bards and rogues. Rogues are like the mischievous, mysterious thieves, you know, types. To where I like be all in black and like checking for traps and like picking the locks. And so those are the kind of characters I like to play.
Yeah.
But there's so many different types.
Oh, that's so fun. I mean, I've never even seen anybody play. So maybe I need to do some research and like look online and watch some Twitch streamers play. Because one of my good friends, Kalaris, she's like pretty, I don't know if she's like well known for playing D&D, but like I see her at all the conventions. So maybe I need to hit her up and be
I'll
like, hey, friend.
I'll send you some links of like quick, because when you watch someone play online, it's going to be like 4 hours long.
Oh,
just
okay.
For one episode.
Oh.
And it's like Monopoly.
It's very, so I'll send you some clips of like, that'll
highlights.
Break it down. Exactly.
Okay,
you.
I almost like need to watch like if there's a video that explains like, D&D for dummies. Like, I feel like I need that.
So my old band partner, Xander Genre of the Library
That's
Bards.
That's a name.
Yeah. he's also a professional D&D player and DM. And he did a video with Wizards of the Coast.
Oh, I love Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah.
Okay.
He did it with them sponsoring where he went out to the Midwest where his mom lives in Wisconsin and got like his aunt and some of her friends. And it was a bunch of Midwestern moms who have never played D&D before, who have no idea what it is or what's going on.
Yeah.
And like they made a video of these moms playing D&D for the first time. And they're wearing like these little like Viking helmets and like crowns and like, they have no idea what they're doing, and it's the cutest thing ever. And it's like this cute little 12-minute YouTube video of him taking these Midwestern moms on a D&D adventure. And they're just like, and they get so into it, and it's so cute and heartwarming. I'll send you that.
Yeah.
Because it's very much like D&D 101 of just,
he explains, okay, now pick up this die and roll it. And they're like, okay.
Oh,
yeah. And it's so
Wisconsin
cute.
Accent.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Oh, we're going to kill it. Oh, we're going to kill that. We're going to kill that bad guy.
You know, I'm from Wisconsin, buddy.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Don't
you got
know,
a lot
like
of
that,
cheese up there.
That's why I find it so darn surprising that those little ladies were ready to play D&D because when I was a child in the 80s, D&D was for the devil. And that was something that you don't play, don't you know?
Oh, the devil panic there. Yeah. Europe.
Yeah.
I'm from Minnesota, so the South sounds way too familiar.
Yeah. I'm from the Bayou of Louisiana, so
I read that about you, and I was shook.
Yeah, I'm from Cajun country, like Brobridge, Lafayette, Louisiana.
Wow.
I grew up with the best food and music.
Yeah.
Got my start singing in New Orleans, then Katrina hit, and I was like, bye.
I remember Katrina. Oh, my gosh. I couldn't even say Katrina properly. I was so shook by that statement.
It was wild, yeah. But I kind of, like, became a nomad and moved around, which is kind of like a D&D party of just moving around from adventure to adventure. I'm linking that to keep it on topic.
Oh, so look at you, segues. We love that. So then how did you end up in California?
I was living in Vegas, doing shows in Vegas for a while.
That checks out.
Yeah, doing shows in Vegas. And then I came out here to LA for like a weekend. I was trying to decide whether to move to New York or LA because theater was my main love.
Yeah.
And at the time, I didn't realize you can't make a living or you couldn't make a living doing theater in LA. I was like, oh, I could go to LA and do theater. You can't.
No.
You don't make livings of theater here. You can't make money doing theater. Hmm. You can do theater.
Yeah.
You won't make money.
Got it. Okay.
So I was trying to decide. That's what, yeah. I'm just going to say, Chompy, you can cut however you want that, but don't bother.
Nah.
I just wanted to acknowledge you, Chompy. Hi, Chompy.
Everybody acknowledge Chompy.
Hey, Chompy.
Okay. So I was trying to decide whether to move to New York or LA.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to LA for the weekend just to kind of see it.
Mm.
And check it out. And I walked into an open audition of Second City, like by accident.
Oh.
And I was like, what's going on in here? And I just auditioned for Second City.
Oh,
and then I got the letter. Like
on accident.
Huh?
On accident.
Well, it was just like, it was like an audition. I think you had to sign up in advance. So I just kind of walked in. Yeah. Like, can I put my name down? The lady was like, okay.
Wow.
I had my little suitcase with me and everything.
Oh.
And I just walked in and crashed this audition.
Hell
for
yeah.
The Second City Conservatory. And they have like intro 1, 2, and 3 and then conservatory 1.
Mm.
And I got the letter saying like you're skipping intro 1, 2, and 3 and we're going to put you straight through the conservatory. And I was like, oh, great. So I like, you know, I was like telling my parents like, oh, I'm going to move to LA and go to a conservatory. So they're thinking I'm going back to school. They don't realize it's for Second City improv.
Oh, wow.
Tricked them. They're like, oh, how wonderful. And it wasn't quite like that.
Oh.
But yeah, so I moved out to LA because of Second City and improv.
Wow.
And then started doing like theater and different shows out here. And again, you know, I didn't even start doing the RPG stuff until later.
Mm.
Like, it's funny, most of my TTRPG experience is in front of a camera for an audience, whether it be live in front of at a convention,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, like a charity stream or Geek and Sundry.
You do it live at a convention?
Yes.
Wow.
That's, in fact, the Star Trek actors I mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm.
we this whole year at Star Trek conventions, it was called Trek Does D&D, and we did a 2-hour one-shot at each city, like Dallas, Nashville, Chicago, Jersey. It was a huge hit. It was so funny.
Wow.
Yeah, Todd Stashek was the DM.
Nice.
And it was like Anthony Rapp, Michelle Hurd,
wow.
Celia Rose Gooding. It was me, Ciroc Lofton, Elias Tufexis. So it was like all these Star Trek actors playing D&D in front of a live audience. And people were like, what is happening?
That's so cool.
And it was hysterical. It was so funny. And it was such
so
a joy
cool.
to share a stage with such strong actors too. Like that's the mm-hmm. thing is when you're in a room with people who like want to play,
mm-hmm.
it just makes it so much joyful for everyone.
That's like how I feel when I have a self-tape and it's something that I need someone to like bounce off of. I'll bring in Adam because there's kind of this like rumor that like, oh, like don't act with actors that are better than you or actors that are really good because it makes you look bad. Where I firmly disagree that like when you act with somebody who you look up to or like you want to be like, it makes you way better.
It makes you want to be better.
Yeah.
It makes you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that you would do that for me, but just kidding. But now I'm curious. Like, I need to do a self-tape with Adam. Mm-hmm. I almost never get on-camera auditions, though. All of my auditions are voiceover, mostly.
See, I've had, like, two voiceover auditions, and then everything else has been on-camera. So I wonder if that's just my agent, or I don't know how that works.
Switch that. I don't get any on-camera auditions. It's so frustrating. And I'm I want to do more on-camera stuff.
Yeah.
And it's getting to the point where I'm just like, you know, hey, pick me.
I mean, you have such a presence, so I'm really surprised. And I wonder if it's just maybe like an agent thing.
No, I don't know. It's a lot of, you know, sadly, it's this industry. Another reason why I love RPGs is you can do anything and be anyone when you create your character. But I'm, you know, on the curvier side in L.A., and I've been told, you know, by many casting people to either like lose 50 pounds or gain 80.
That's so
you know, like I'm that. Either I'm not big enough to be like the fat best friend, and I'm not thin enough to be like an ingenue. So I'm in this, and I'm a character actor, but I don't look character enough. So it's like I'm in that weird, and now I'm in that weird, like uncastable, like triad thing. Yeah. I don't know what. Where I'm in this weird uncastable limbo where on paper they just don't want to see me. If I can get into a room and audition, I almost always get a call back or book it, but it's just getting in that room that I never.
Wait, what are you looking at? What are you looking at me for?
I'm looking at you because we did an episode, the first episode that Adam came on.
Yeah.
We did like the debate versus it was like self-tape versus in-person auditions. Mm. And that was one of the things that Adam actually said is that like he, I feel like this is the episode that I keep bringing up past episodes.
No, it's fine.
Fall down the DeLulu rabbit hole. Watch a bunch of them. But, ooh, that should be the music every time we say, like, DeLulu rabbit hole.
The Wayne's World,
yeah.
But Adam had mentioned that, like, anytime he has, like, an in-person audition, he's got, like, that presence thing going on, too, that, like, he'll book as soon as he, like, walks in the room and talks to them. So
yeah, that's how I feel.
See, I don't have that because I get in the giant pool of generic brunette pretty girl. So it's like I get in that line, and I'm cool with it. Like, I have no issues with it. But I also have, like, terrible audition anxiety. That if I don't know I'm auditioning for something, it'll go phenomenally.
Yeah.
Like, no issues. Yeah. But the minute I know that, like, I'm auditioning and it's for a big thing and it's a big deal, I should have just stayed home. Because, like, I got to, like, pee in the car or, I can't find parking. Yeah. I'm sweating. And then I, like, practice the monologue, but I get in there and I mess it up and I just, it's bad.
I'm so much better with doing cold reads or improv auditions than preparing something. If they say, like, prepare a monologue or be off book or this, like, it gets almost over rehearsed in my brain.
You get it locked
but
in,
if it's, if it's, like, if they have me come in and say, be funny, do a just make improv, something up. Make something up. I'm like, oh, thank God. Oh, I can do this. And then I look around, I'm like, okay, I know that a lot of people that are in this audition room is going to walk in and panic when they say, just make it up.
Yeah.
Because half the time, if, you know, actors, there's like the actors who like to be completely prepared and like have everything mapped out. And then there's the actors who will just go in blind. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm the one that just wants to go in.
You don't want to know anything.
Yeah, don't tell me anything.
Yeah.
Like, tell me a little bit about what, like, where are my guardrails? Where are the bumpers?
Where are the rules?
Where are the bumpers?
Where are the rules? There was the rules.
Where are the rules?
Where are the bumpers of this bowling alley?
Yes.
And let my ball just go boom, 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 all around it. And I will probably not get a strike, but it'll
hit something.
I'll hit something. Maybe a child, but I will hit something.
But I feel like that's how you remain, like, memorable, too, is when you, like, are just trying different things and you're, like, playing with the casting director, whoever's in the room. Your chances of booking, I feel like, in person can be anywhere when you don't know what they're looking for. But I think that's the gift is when you don't predict what they want, because then it makes your acting more real. When you don't know, like, oh, they're looking for young ingenue. Oh, they're looking for leading male.
Yeah.
When they let you play, because then you get to actually show what you think you can do.
I tend to go the opposite of what they want on accident. Like, they'll be looking for, like, young ingenue. I'll be like, hello. And I'm coming in as like, hey, oh, my goodness. Is this what you, Prince Charming. And they're like, yeah, she's like
20 something. I'm like, oh, right.
My bad.
My bad.
Transition.
Yeah. Like, oh, you didn't want Carol Channing. Oh, my bad.
You turned Reginald an old lady with a rocker? What do you mean?
Those are some of my favorite RPG characters to play.
Yeah, but where am I supposed to go? You know, you're lost and confused. Yeah. It's so good.
There was a D&D one shot I did at the Comedy Store where it was like a Halloween episode, and I played a tabaxi, which is a cat, like a cat species.
Okay,
it's a
cat.
So
I know, I heard tabaxi, and I was like, a taxi tobacco? Cab that smokes cigarettes?
Yes, yeah, tabaxi. Like, what's going on? Yeah. And so I was a cat person, and I played it as an old lady. So I was a literal old cat lady. And she, and then they met with the bad guy, and like, we're trying to like calm this lady down. And I was like, I start making biscuits. So I start massaging her. And then we ended up dying. But spoilers. Spoilers.
If you watch that episode, spoiler.
We all died. But I made biscuits on the villain. And like, let me help you relax. I'm going to make some biscuits.
So that was a chaotic, chaotic evil.
Oh, chaotic good. Always chaotic good.
Oh, chaotic good.
I think I'm chaotic good in real life.
Yeah, so I can see that.
I'm kind of like a hobbit in real life. Not height wise, but like I feel energy. Like I would feel very much at home in the Shire.
Oh,
like, you know, drinking mead and dancing around a fire having second breakfast. And
I've also not seen that movie.
It's okay. I'm gonna like steal you away for a week and just like open your brain to so many nerd things.
Oh, I'm excited. I need more nerdisms. I kind of stick to like the Pokemon and the Pikmin and Nintendo.
That's
good. It's good. Like I've dipped my big toe into that pool, and then I've just decided my big toe's not coming out, which is not good. I need to experience more nerdism and more culture and society. But
my love for Lord of the Rings was when I was very young.
And
I used to call myself Bonnie Baggins and like run around my room.
Bonnie Baggins.
Yeah, I used to run around my room with like a little pocket knife, or not pocket knife, like a butter knife as my sting, and like run around and like look for orcs in my bedroom.
Aww.
And yeah, that's how much friends I had.
well, we can get you some more friends.
Oh, no, because... I'm good now. Now it's cool to be a nerd. Back then, they were like, who's the weirdo talking to the tree?
Yeah.
That was me.
I feel that.
I was like, when Pocahontas came out and Grandmother Willow started talking, I was like, she exists.
Yeah.
I know the trees could talk back.
Well, we want our audience to talk back to you. So let them know, where can they find you on social media?
I'm easy to find. Search Bonnie Gordon. At Bonnie Bell G is like my Instagram, my Twitter, my TikTok, my Blue Sky, my X's and O's, my whatever the social medias are.
Yeah.
I have a Patreon under Bonnie Gordon,
right?
I do a lot of nerdy comedy music. That's like my main thing, which is why I feel like I'm a bard in real life. So it's kind of cheating.
When you sang Wrecking Ball, but instead Pokeball, I will never forget that performance. Yeah.
He threw me like a Pokeball. That was for you.
It was so good.
It was just for you. I was like, you showed up in full, like,
what was it? I don't remember.
It was at karaoke, and you showed up in full Pokemon attire, and I was like, I'm gonna sing this for Dare.
I sang
Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball, but it was Pokeball.
Yeah, it was so good. Honestly, like, you have an album out too, right? Can they listen to your music on Spotify?
Three albums.
Go listen to her sing. Like, you're probably, out of like everybody I know, like the most talented singer I know. So check her out.
That is a compliment, because have you heard this one sing? But I have two comedy albums with my comedy band called Library Bards.
Okay, I love that.
And it's all parody. So it's all parodies about like Lord of the Rings, D&D, Star Trek, Star Wars, Pokemon, Power Rangers, Jurassic Park, you name it, we sing about it.
Wow.
So it's all parodies about those fandoms. And then my solo album is called Con Artist.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I love that too.
Because I'm always at conventions.
That's pretty sweet.
I'm a con artist. I'm at a con.
And you make art.
No, that's the first song is called Con Artist. And you think I'm singing about a criminal. And then if you listen to the words, every lyric has a double meaning about art. Like, you're the next one to be framed. He's a quick drawn son of a gun. His weapon full of lead. Pencil. And so all the lyrics are a double meaning of art. And so I'm singing that I'm in love with a con artist, and it's an artist in Artist Alley at Comic-Con.
Aww. I love this so much.
I will eventually make a music video for it when I get a budget.
Oh my gosh. I want to be in it.
Oh, absolutely.
Even if I'm just a person walking by or like somebody buying the art.
No, because it's going to be like the whole music video is like a film noir, black and white, but with like Sin City splashes of color.
Yeah.
And so then I'm going to be like the detective looking for this wanted person. So I'm going to need like mobsters and like different, it's going to be very Dick Tracy feel, like a graphic novel comic book.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah. And then at the end, you realize that it's just the artist is drawing the comic that we're watching.
That's so
and I'm walking down the alley, and then it fades into an actual artist alley, and I'm in the cosplay of the character that he's drawing.
Oh my god, I'm obsessed. Yeah. I'm obsessed. I need to be a part of this. Wow. I need to be a part of this.
That'll be the music video. Whenever I can afford it, it's gonna be great.
Well, if you check out Bonnie's Patreon, you can help contribute to the music video.
There you go. That's smart. I like that idea.
Speaking of Patreon, we actually have one for Delulu Canoe, and you all asked the questions that we're gonna be asking Bonnie. So be sure to check out Delulu Canoe Pod on Patreon. Check out Bonnie Gordon's as well. And thank you, Adam, for being here. I'm so sorry I didn't let you talk very much this episode.
No, that's okay. I mean, you're talking about all stuff that I like, and you didn't know anything about it. So it's nice to, like, because she's, like, way more
into that than I am. But I feel terrible. No, you're great. You have to, like, there's a trick I tell my friends, mime time. Like, they have to tell me that to know that I'm talking too much.
I'm just here to push buttons. The guest. It's fine.
Yeah. And he's producing, but I feel bad I didn't throw it to you once. So I'm so sorry. I was just in, you know.
Back to you, Adam.
I have nothing to add. Like, she added everything. That makes me want to get back into TTRPGs a little bit again. It's been a long time since I played, definitely since I was a kid. And I feel like I keep talking about this IP on this podcast, but my favorite IP of all time, Legacy of Kain, is having they're having a fan-funded project for a TTRPG based in the world of Nazgoth that I'm really excited for. So I'm looking forward to that.
You know what RPG I'm gonna run for you, because I know you'll understand the world. I run a game of Lasers and Feelings, very easy rules, like just play it with like 6-sided die, very easy. Create a character that you would find in Alice in Wonderland.
Ooh,
that's not a famous character. And then I run it, so I'm the game master, and you'll meet everyone, like the Mad Hatter, March Hare, the White Queen, the Queen of Hearts. Okay. Like and I'll play everyone, the Cheshire Cat, everyone, and you'll meet all of the characters along the way.
Cool.
And you get to play, and you have to like help them find the white rabbit.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Oh,
it's a fun one that I've run it a few times, and every time I run it, it's completely different. Whoever plays with it, whoever plays it, because they always make choices, and I'm like, oh, was not prepared for this. But it's so much fun.
Yeah,
and I think
weird.
You would have so much fun because it's Wonderland, so anything can happen, and like you can just kind of go wacky with it.
Mm. So, well, come join us on Patreon because we're about to go wacky with it.
Ooh, let's go.
All right, everybody, stay Delulu, because we know that it's the Salulu, and we'll see you on over on Patreon so we can get some of these spicy questions going.
Spicy. Oh my.
And don't forget to subscribe as well. Like, please go poke the like button and subscribe. Poke both of them. Poke, 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 poke. Okay, bye. We'll see you on Patreon.
Bye.